Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back. This is our daily devotional for Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. I hope it finds all of you doing very well, that your week post-Easter is just speeding along nicely, that you've had the opportunity to enjoy some of the spring-like weather and some of the cold weather all on the same day. I don't know. It's a fascinating time of the year, at least in the valley, but it's something to be enjoyed as everything is turning more and more green. And as we are even now seeing April showers and even thunderstorms, I don't know. And that's supposed to get cold at the end of this week. I love living here. I hope that you do too. If you're in our area, if you're not, I'm sorry. It's a wonderful thing to live in the valley. If you are in our area, this is Wednesday, so I'd like to welcome you to join us tonight. If you're, again, close to Old Providence here, we're not going to be streaming. But if you're in our area, we'd love to have you for our prayer meeting and for our Bible study, which starts at 6:45 and ends promptly at 7:30 or as close to it as possible. But we're going to the book of Hebrews and having a great time together as we dig into the intricacies of such an important book of the Bible that is often overlooked. But that's tonight. Today, right now, we continue on in our time in Acts. And yes, I'm sure there have been many times where if you've been faithful, if you followed through with us, you might think, are we ever going to get finished with Acts? Well, we are. And in fact, I'm hoping that we finish with Acts this week. We are in the last chapter. We come to it today. And we come to it after this harrowing experience that we've been following the last 2 days together. This shipwreck scenario with Paul. Remember, he's on his way to Italy to stand trial before Caesar because he's demanded that right. He's there with the centurion. Luke is there along with him. We found out over the last 2 days about this terrible storm that befell them as they were trying to make their way across the Adriatic Sea just to get to Italy, culminating ultimately in what we saw yesterday, and that is with a shipwreck. And yet, the Lord was faithful. Along the way, we also saw the value of faith and the effect that it has on other people. And much the same way, today we also find a very valuable lesson on who Christians are supposed to be. I don't know if you ever thought about that before, but I'd encourage you to. What does the Lord call his people to be? What's the Lord call his people to do as we are in this world that is unfolding around us? Well, what we find today, just like the last couple of days, admittedly, very specific circumstances, right? Particular stories that take place in time and space that involve specific things, but principles are revealed. Wonderful principles are given as to what our witness ought to be in the world around us. And yes, we see this through the Apostle Paul as we make our way into the final chapter of the book of Acts. Let's pray, and then we'll read. Our Father, as we come to your word now, we pray that you would guide us, that by your Holy Spirit you would give us understanding, that we would comprehend not only what your word means, but what our calling is in light of it. Without you, this is just not possible. So please, work in our hearts and in our minds right now by your Holy Spirit. And we pray it all in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so do you remember where we left off yesterday? The ship, they had run aground. They were trying to make it to the sandy beach that they observed. They ended up running the ship aground on a sandbar. The soldiers wanted to kill everybody just in case, or kill all the prisoners just so none would escape. However, the Lord intervened. They threw everybody off the ship and they said, if you can swim, swim to the dry land. If you can't swim, grab hold of a plank and then make your way there. The ship was staved, as it were, into staves. So that's where we left off. And where we're picking up today is Acts chapter 28, verse 1. It says, once safely on the shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. Now, pausing, time out just a second here. I wish I had a map in the background here like a weatherman, and I'd show you where Malta is, but you can look it up. Google it sometime, right? It's right on the course from where they were. Remember, they're coming from Caesarea. They're trying to make their way up to Italy. They're making their way through, okay? So they ended up on the island of Malta. And then we find out verse 2. The islanders showed unusual kindness They built a fire and welcomed us because it was raining and cold. Now, pausing for just a second, what does it mean that they showed unusual kindness? You have to ask the question, is it unusual kindness based on the fact that this is Malta? Is it unusual kindness based on the fact that these people are going above and beyond to help? We don't know. But just like we've seen all along, what we do see at work is God's hand here. That God, in one way or another, worked into the hearts of the people or worked in the hearts of the people so that they would show this kindness to Paul and to the others. And remember, this is not a small group of people that we are talking about here. If we go back to Acts chapter 27, we found out, verse 37 of Acts 27, that there were 276 people on board this boat. So you're talking about a big show of kindness here from the Maltans, right? I don't think they're referred to as Maltese. Maybe. I don't know. I should have looked that up. But nevertheless, Maltans, Maltese, it doesn't really matter. We see this kindness on display. But then something happens. What? After all that they've been through, think about the story that we've seen unfolding. All the drama, all the intrigue, all the storm, the toss, the squall, all those different things. What we see next, verse 3, it says, Paul gathered a pile of brushwood. And as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. Ooh, verse 4, when the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, this man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. All right, time out. We got to talk about this, right? What in the world? First off, this should do away with the notion that you know, and it comes from different places. I get it. You know, Joel Osteen was the one that really made this concept popular, that if you belong to God and if you trust God, then good things are supposed to happen to you all the time because God wants you to be happy, healthy, well-fed, wealthy, all of these different things. Y'all, look, if that notion hasn't been done away with at this point with all that Paul has been through, then I don't know what's going to do it for you. This idea that Christianity means you're just going to live an easy life is completely contrary to everything that Jesus said. Paul here faced not only shipwreck, not only the threat of being, remember, the sailors wanted to abandon the ship so that everybody died. God intervened and saved them through Paul. Then some of the soldiers wanted to kill all the prisoners. God intervened and saved him. Not to mention the whole harrowing episode of the storm, the squall, all of this different stuff. And then they finally make it to dry land after 14 days of being driven by this storm, and he gets bit by this snake. This ought to do away with the notion that just being a follower of Christ means that you're going to live an easy life. This is just a snapshot of something that took place over a couple of weeks. Paul's life was riddled with difficulty. Y'all, that's the nature of the world that we're living in. So get rid of that garbage. As Bodhi Bauckham said, if you're living your best life now, you know, that's Osteen's book, right? Live Your Best Life Now. He said, if you're living your best life now, then you're going to go to hell. And there's a lot to be said about that. Knowing Jesus doesn't guarantee that you will live a life of ease. It just means that you won't live alone and that the Lord will give peace that passes understanding by His Holy Spirit. And not only that, the Lord intervenes. We've just read about it, right? Paul, it's a simple scenario. Paul is gathering together brush. He's getting together firewood, goes to throw it on the fire. And a snake jumps out, latches onto his hand. Now, it's fascinating when you do a little bit of research on this. You know, what snakes were on Malta that would have been poisonous? And as always, you click on some of the links, some of the forums for reptile research, all that stuff. You start seeing here, it's like, oh, well, obviously this wasn't a poisonous snake because, you know, he didn't die. And also because of the way that it latched on, poisonous snakes don't do that. That's not true. But also, please don't become one of these smug people that looks back at history and says, well, because they believed that he was a murderer, and then they believed he was a god. Obviously, these people were too stupid to recognize a poisonous snake from a harmless snake, which is so condescending. Y'all, it's so, our present day world, and I suppose this sort of thing has always happened, people in the present time look at themselves as if they are so smart, as if they are so advanced, and everybody behind them was just this barbaric group of people that were all foolish. And these people knew what a poisonous snake was, and they knew what this snake was. Now, when you do some deductive reasoning and you try to find out which snake it was, there's lots of guesses. There's different, like a bullnose viper would have been in that area. What fits the description really well, though, is a snake called the inland taipan. Okay, T-A-I-P-A-N. This isn't that far from Africa. The inland taipan is a vicious and deadly snake. It's also not a very large snake, and that's important because Paul is gathering wood and he doesn't see the snake, so it can't be this huge, big python-looking thing. It's got to be small enough to not be seen. The taipan is a color brown that could easily be lost when you're looking at branches, firewood, right? But the important thing is, don't be so condescending as to look at these people like they're a bunch of fools that didn't know the land that they lived in. These people knew what a poisonous snake was. That's why they're looking at Paul like, okay, in any second he's going to swell up and then he's going to die. And for good reason. Let's just say this was an inland taipan. One bite from an inland taipan snake, it's a viper, one bite has enough poison to kill 100 full-grown men. And so they're sitting there and they see this whole thing happen, and the irony doesn't escape them either. They're like, wow, you know, he made it through this shipwreck only to get bitten by a snake. He must be a murderer. You know, it was this idea. You know what's fascinating? I'm going to tell you something really interesting, right? People in the present day look down on people of the past as if they're a bunch of morons, right? As if they don't know. All they're superstitious people. And yet, how often do you hear about karma today? People talk about karma, all that, oh, it's karma. You know, no, karma is not real, but living like a jerk is and then facing consequences for it is real. But how often do people look down on the people of the past like they didn't know anything or they're barbarians? And yet today people talk about karma all the time. That's what they're doing right here, though they don't know that terminology for it. It's like, oh, well, he must have been a murderer because his life was spared by the sea, but then again, he's been bitten by this snake. And then on the other side, you see this other end of the equation. When he doesn't die, they think he's some sort of god. And y'all, what this really ought to teach us is cut through all of these different ideas, all of these different things that the world espouses, that the world throws out there, and see the world for what it is. Nothing has changed in 2,000 years. We live in a world full of people that are all trying to do something, one thing. And it doesn't matter what religion they are in or anything like that. This is what separates Christianity from everything else. All these different religions, all these different philosophies of life, people are just trying to figure out what's going on. That's what was going on here 2,000 years ago. They're just trying to figure out what is taking place. It's not that they're barbarians, but they've witnessed this incredible thing happen from a snake that they recognize and it should have killed them. But it didn't. Again, the Lord has intervened. But not just for the sake of Paul's life, because you see, when this happens, a door is open. And it's an important one. Earlier, I asked the question, what effect should Christians have? What influence should Christians have? Should we be like in the world around us? About to read what we should be like. And no, I don't specifically mean what Paul's about to do. But the essence of it, the fundamentals of it, the philosophy of it, the principle of it is what we ought to do. What's it talking about? Verse 7. After all this went down, verse 7, there was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and for 3 days entertained us hospitably. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him and after prayer placed his hands on him and healed him. When this happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways. And when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies that we needed. Y'all, again, we're dealing with specific circumstances here in time and space. We've got Paul being a shipwreck victim and then a snake bite victim, and then he's healing people up. That's not, when I ask the question, what should we be doing in our communities? What influence should we have? I'm not talking about the specifics here, but in principle, what are Christians to do? Just like we saw in the last chapter, that those that fear the Lord, those who have faith in the Lord, should keep their heads about them and should have that effect on others. So it is that we see here that those who know and trust in the Lord are to be a blessing to those around them. What should be our desire as the followers of Christ? Our desire should be to do what Paul did here. Are we going to do it the same way? No, we're not. This is a specific set of circumstances involving the Apostle Paul. Look, the Lord used this. Obviously, they needed to be outfitted to be able to get back on their way. The Lord used all this, but the principle remains the same. The principle remains true. That as the followers of Christ, it doesn't matter what scenario we go into, we are supposed to be the ones that are His representatives. We are supposed to be the ones that ought to be a blessing to those around us. We're the ones that are called upon to be joyful, to have the joy of the Lord as our strength. We're the ones that are to look for ways to represent the goodness, the love, the mercy, the truth, without a doubt. But all of these things, we're to be the ones that are the ambassadors for Christ. And that's what Paul has done here. And as a result, the Lord blessed these people and used these people to be a blessing, Paul, and to Luke, and to the others. Y'all, this isn't about karma. Believers have no business talking about karma, by the way. Forget about karma. Talk about consequences, okay? Focus on that. That's biblical. You reap what you sow, long before Eastern pantheistic monism came up with this garbage. But nevertheless, I'm digressing. What are we supposed to do? Who are we supposed to be? We're supposed to be like this. And the end result is the Lord's business. What He does with it. Remember, it's kind of like telling the truth, right? We tell the truth in order for people to hear it and to be transformed by it. But also the Lord uses truth being told in order to indict people. In the same way, by our being a blessing to people, we give them an opportunity to bless us. And no, this is not about paying to play. This is not about a bartering situation or anything like that. This is simply about God's people reflecting His goodness, His love, His mercy. Now, as we continue on, we're going to see what happens, because if you have the nifty headings on your Bible, you're going to see the arrival at Rome is next. But for here and now, what a valuable application there is. What a wonderful opportunity this is for us to evaluate what our witness is. And that can be on a broad sense as the church. It can also be on a very individual sense. What kind of neighbor are you? What do the people in your life know you as? What would your coworkers say about you? Do you reflect the love of Christ? And forget about strangers. What about your family? That's a tough one. It's a tough one for me. But y'all, in Paul, we see the example we're to follow. And I want to encourage you, take the time to really think about and consider what your witness is. How you represent the Lord. Do people see Him in you as they saw Him in Paul here? Can't go back. Can't go back and take the opportunities that we've missed, but the Lord gives us opportunities every day to testify to His greatness. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank You for Your hand at work here in such a mighty way that You spared Paul yet again because You were working Your will. But also You gave him the opportunity to be a blessing. Would You let us show us ways that we can be a blessing to others and thus point them to You? Father, forgive us for the times that we've missed. Forgive us for acts of selfishness. Forgive us for when we just miss things altogether. Instead, Renew in us a right spirit and let us see the opportunities you bring our way every day. And I pray it all in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I'd like to thank you all for being a part of this time. Lord willing, we will be back together again tomorrow. And Lord willing, we're going to be finishing up the book of Acts. We'll see. Maybe, maybe not. But nevertheless, we'll give it our best shot. Thank you so much for being a part of this time. Take care.